This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. Bernie Sanders introduced legislation on Wednesday, September 13th, 2017, that would expand Medicare into a universal health care insurance for all in the United States, along with a record level of support of at least 16 Senate Democrats. There are some outlets that are saying 15 Democratic senators. What we'd like to do now before welcoming our guests is we'd just like to do a roundup from the Washington Post of what is single-payer health care and contrasting what Bernie and progressive Democrats are supporting as opposed to what the Republicans and conservatives are. Let's go to that clip now.
Healthcare in the United States is going through a political reckoning, with lots of ideas on how to reform or completely change the way people get and pay for health insurance. Many on the right want to move toward a more privately run system, with less insurance requirements on individuals, health insurance companies, and employers, and less government subsidies and funding.
We want all the providers of healthcare services, insurers, doctors, hospitals, everyone, competing against each other for our business as patients, as consumers.
But Republicans are splintered on just how to roll back the government's role in individuals' health care, something that came to a head when four different plans failed to pass the Senate in July. The left, on the other hand, wants to boost those public government programs and coverage requirements to give more Americans health insurance.
Democrats believe that health care is a right for all.
One of their buzziest ideas is single-payer health care, where the government is the single payer that pays for Americans' health insurance through a tax-funded plan. Single payer is a type of universal health coverage. That's where the government ensures that every citizen has health insurance. There are lots of ways for governments to implement universal health coverage. At least 30 countries have some form of it. The way our system works right now, there are a good deal of Americans who don't have health insurance. In 2016, about 28 million, roughly 9% of the population, were uninsured. And those who are insured have to work with a web of private insurance companies, employers, hospitals, pharmaceutical companies, and government-funded programs like Medicaid and Medicare. Single-payer would funnel all of those negotiations into one channel, where the government determines a baseline of health benefits that it will fund for everyone and sets or negotiates the price for those benefits. Just like there are many ways to get to universal health coverage, there are also multiple ways to implement a single-payer healthcare system. Bernie Sanders and some Democrats are backing a Medicare for All proposal. This would expand Medicare, which currently pays for certain health services for Americans over 65 and those with disabilities, to all Americans. Polling shows that a majority of Americans believe that it's the government's responsibility to provide health care coverage, and a growing share of Americans support single-payer health care. Those in favor of Medicare for All say that the plan would lower prices for healthcare services and medicine across the board. Americans pay double what many countries with universal health coverage do on health costs, and many say that those costs would be lower if the government could bargain down or set prices. Conservatives are largely against Medicare for All because it would shift more costs and responsibilities to the government and away from the private market, thus requiring more tax dollars to implement.
Get Washington out of the business of being a nanny state.
They contend that it would take away individual choice in health coverage.
This complete government takeover of health care.
Although liberals who support the plan argue the exact opposite.
The choice they made is they want to get quality health care.
And many moderates say that the transition to a single-payer system would be tricky and could upend health insurance coverage if done too rapidly. But with public perception warming up to single-payer and more Democrats jumping on board, we could see more of these proposals in the run-up to big elections in 2018 and 2020.
That was from the Washington Post. I'd like to welcome Egan Kemp. Egan is a healthcare policy advocate at Public Citizen. He's an expert in single-payer systems, private health insurance, Medicare, Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, the Veterans Health Administration, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, social determinants of health, mental health, and drug shortages. He was previously a senior policy analyst at the U.S. Government Accountability Office. Egan, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, Egan, an exciting time here. Robert Wiseman, also with your organization, has said that Sanders' Medicaid for All legislation is the right thing to do politically, economically, and morally. Now, we are seeing, though, with the 2018 election coming up and people making all kinds of political calculations, those who are up for re-election, that according to Pew, 60% of people are saying that the federal government is responsible for ensuring healthcare coverage for all in the United States, 39% not, right? But right. In terms of single payer, overall 33% of the public now favors single payer, and that's up 5 percentage points since January, 12 percentage points since 2014. People are still going to be looking at that 33%. Tell us your assessment of where things are now. You've got these 16 Democrats. You are seeing an uptick in support.
Yeah, we agree. It's a really exciting time for single-payer health care and for Americans to hopefully get the health care system that they really deserve. And we think that it's an important time for folks to understand that, you know, the health care that they have now, we hope that they enjoy it, but there's a lot of folks that are uninsured. As your clip mentioned, around 28 million Americans that are still uninsured, which really puts them at risk of bankruptcy, even if they have one relatively small illness. And a number more millions of folks are underinsured, so they may have high deductibles or high copays, which really create challenges for them, you know, should they get sick. And we've seen that, you know, most folks that go through a bankruptcy related to medical costs already had insurance at the time.
Right. So help our audience to understand what's actually in this Sanders bill.
Yeah. So the Sanders bill, it would improve Medicaid and Medicare and expand it to all Americans. So the goal really there is that, you know, anyone who comes to the U.S., a resident to the U.S., or who's born in the U.S., would then be on the system. They'd be given a card. They would be able to go to any doctor in the country that's available, and they would be able to get care, you know, first dollar care, meaning that there's not sort of upfront payments that they'd have to make. They're not going to be getting a bill. And their only cost sharing so far would be for some prescription drugs, limited cost sharing depending on your income. And this is, would be a great system for Americans to finally be able to get the care that they need. We know that a lot of Americans go without care either due to expense or due to challenges finding someone that takes their insurance.
Right. And I mean, on the face of it, a lot of things, likely a lot of our listeners would support. Youths under the age of 18 would immediately obtain universal Medicare cards, emergency surgery to prescription drugs, from mental health to eye care, all would be covered with no copay. And people not currently eligible for Medicare would be phased into the program over 4 years. So there is that. And also private insurance insurers would also remain. But one thing that changed from when Bernie was campaigning is that the new bill doesn't specify how to finance the new health benefits. And when he was campaigning for president, he talked about a new set of taxes. Any thoughts on that?
That's something that is still being discussed, and I know that they're, you know, they want to have this discussion about sort of whether people can agree that all Americans have a right to health care. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of movement on that issue and a lot of support. But I know that they plan to release funding sources, you know, potential options soon. They wanted to get the discussion going sort of on the policy side and whether, you know, we can come to agreement on this issue that all Americans deserve the right to health care, and then really have the discussion of what that means in terms of how you would fund it, you know, what the final goals would be, what the final plan would look like as we, you know, discuss and debate the passage and implementation of such a bill.
Okay. So what about we see people like Cory Booker of New Jersey, Kamala Harris of California, Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts, all kind of being discussed as possible presidential candidates in the next run. Who are some of the key Democrats that are not signed on? Because there's also a House bill, right? There's a House version of this bill, which people don't know a lot about this single-payer bill in the House.
Yeah, so I can touch on both of those. Yeah, in the House, it's called H.R. 676, and John Conyers, Representative Conyers, has been introducing that for a number of years. He's now at a record number of co-sponsors, 118, a majority of the House Democratic Caucus, and so that's a bill that continues to get a lot of support. It's similar to the Sanders bill in a number of ways, with a few differences just in terms of, you know, how it's structured, how quickly it's implemented. It has a shorter transition than the Sanders bill, but we think both bills are really strong single-payer proposals. And in terms of Democrats that are not currently on the bill, that's something that, you know, we're continuing to talk to offices. We know that there's a lot of interest on single payer. Even Senator John Tester this week talked about, you know, wanting to have the discussion on single payer. So we don't think this is the final list of folks that are going to be co-sponsoring. We think there's a lot of interest out there, and we're really hoping that everyone will reach out to their senators and let them know, you know, their thoughts, their concerns about single payer, because we want this to be a discussion. We want everyone to be comfortable about where we're going.
Right. Well, there certainly doesn't seem to be consensus among Democrats on this. And then on the GOP side, you've got people like Lindsey Graham, you know, threatening to derail the entire thing. And if you look at the Democratic leadership on the Hill, Nancy Pelosi in the House and Chuck Schumer in the Senate, neither of whom at this point are supporting. I mean, what are they kind of allowing the process to move forward, but strategically not actively working for it? Or are they actively working to undermine it, as far as you know?
Yeah, as far as I know, it looks like they want to create the space where we can have the discussion. And I know that they've both got, you know, big fights on their hands. Recently, Nancy Pelosi, Representative Pelosi, mentioned that she's got to defend the ACA, and that's an important fight, you know. And you mentioned the Graham-Cassidy bill. These battles are ongoing, and so if they're not ready to turn to single payer, you know, that's part of their decision as leaders. But, you know, we think that they have important that work that they're doing, you know, protecting our care, and we hope that they'll eventually get on board and, you know, look forward to continue having discussions with them.
Yeah, finally, I'm wondering, I didn't see the polling on independents, but also given the recent tragedies in Houston and also in Florida with the hurricanes and a lot of people who were opposed to government intervention and people just taking care of themselves, maybe having some second thoughts now because a lot of them need help from the federal government. Do you think that this might have an impact then on how people are seeing healthcare? I mean, there are a lot of, we're going to be talking later in the hour about the health impacts on both of these hurricanes in both Houston as well as Florida. Just some final thoughts from you.
Yeah, I think that's a very important connection to make. And, you know, the social determinants of health are an important aspect of all of this. It's really a question of whether we're all in this together as one country looking out for each other, or whether we're all sort of on our own and responsible for our own health. And I hope the American people can see that, you know, in emergency situations, we really need to be there for each other. And with 30 million Americans still uninsured, we really need to be there for them as well, and making sure that they can get the care that they need.
Right. There is one other quick thing. I cannot neglect this, which is the California single-payer bill, SB 562. The California Nurses Association, a prime driver behind this legislation. And a lot of people thought that this was actually going to just go through, and it seems to be stuck in committee somewhere. But I think people are still hoping that California can kind of set the bar and be an example for how single-payer could work. Any quick thoughts on the California situation?
Yeah, we understand that the California measure is still moving forward, and I want to echo the strong support that nurses are giving it out there. We really appreciate all the support that nurses have give across the country, both sort of in their daily work and also advocating on behalf of their patients for policies like single payer. And so they've been great advocates, and I think they'll continue to have success in California. They're really pushing that effort forward and holding folks accountable.
Right, and again, that bill moved out of the state Senate, again, without identifying identifying a revenue source to fund it. So it seems as though on both the California level as well as the national level, the funding of these things have to be sorted out. But this is encouraging news indeed, Egan Kemp, the United States being one of the few developed nations in the world not giving people access to universal health care as a right. So we appreciate your efforts, and we look forward to progress in all of this. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.